Subject line is Jerry Slusewitz. Today, I'm happy to have a repeat guest joining us, Jerry Slusewitz. Now, Jerry, you and I were talking before I began the recording here just about some of this whipsaw action that's back in the market that's just been making it really difficult for retail investors to feel confident about coming back in. Tell us what you're seeing out there these days.
Yeah, Kate, thanks for having me. It's not tough only on the retail investors. It's tough on the professional investors as well to really formulate a solid opinion about which direction to go because of the whipsaws that we've been seeing. Coming into the year, I was very bullish. I know that a lot of people weren't because of what happened in the fall and the debt downgrade for the U.S. and things like that, but it did seem like things were getting better, and then the LTRO in Europe, that long-term refinance operation of their bonds, you know, kind of band-aided their banks for a while, and I knew we'd have a nice run. And when that kind of wore off, you know, we started getting very defensive before the pullback and through the pullback. But now it's a matter of, you know, are we going to have a recovery or is there another leg down? So, Kate, the only thing I see is to kind of set parameters in terms of when you would sell or when you would add more. And I do think that the markets are giving us some pretty clear levels of where that would be.
You mean in terms of some support and resistance levels that we're seeing lately?
Correct. If you use the S&P 500, I know you like small caps, so we'll look at a proxy for that in a second. But the S&P 500, the low went right below the 200-day moving average on June 4th. We hit a low of 1266. Mm-hmm. And we had what looks to be forming, an inverted head and shoulders on that, with the left bottom shoulder of 1291, and we close today at 1314. So I think we could go down to around the 200-day moving average, which is, you know, around 1290, 1291, right where that left shoulder is and former right shoulder. And then if we could break above 1336, mm-hmm, that's going to be good. And I think that we'd have a good fall. And that was originally my premise coming into the year, that we'd have a good start. Then we'd hit that May, June, July period, and it would be a little bit more difficult. But heading into the election, those who want to get reelected are going to do all they can to make things look good heading into the election. But don't let people tell you that, hey, because it's an election year, things always look good. I got to tell you, 2008 and the year 2000, two of the last three elections, the market didn't look good at all heading into the election. So, you know, while historically over 100 years it might be true, two of the last three haven't been that good. But that's kind of the parameters I'm using. If we drop below 1265 or 1260, I would sincerely move into a cash position, or certainly more defensive than I even am. And above 1336, we'll get more invested than we are today on the S&P, because that's the parameters we're in. Anything other than that, you can get chopped up in a sideways trading range. If we do go on for just a few more weeks, there have been historically a couple of bottoms in early July over the last couple, 3 years, that the timing is about right. And I'm obviously hopeful that this does actually break to the upside, right, versus the downside. That's what I really want to have see happen.
But then again, of course, you know, putting it in historical perspective, I know that August 2011 is obviously very fresh in people's minds. And I think there's obviously, are you still seeing some concern about what might play out this summer in that regard?
There's a tremendous amount of risk out there. I think even more so than last year, because not only of the U.S. The U.S. debt downgrade that eventually happened, you know, there is talk here in the United States that what they solved August 1st, 2011, with the extension of the debt ceiling, that we might not run out, that we might run out of money before the election. I mean, you know, it was supposed to be January 2013, but I've heard a couple of different things that come October, they might have to revisit that debt ceiling,
right,
issue one more time. If that happens before the election, all bets are off, Kate, and we'd have problems. But looking at Europe, what we see going on over there in places like Greece, with the election coming this weekend, and Spain and Italy with their high interest rates to finance their debt. I mean, that is a microcosm of what I think is heading in our direction. And, you know, how long it takes to get here, you know, it's just a matter of debate. But there's a high number of risks. The tax cuts that end, you know, the beginning of 2013, you know, the market supposedly looks forward. You know, it'll see that coming. So you're right. There's a lot of things that can happen in the fall. So it's very important to have an exit strategy on every single position and to have those points figured out in advance where you would sell, even if it means taking a small loss.
Mm-hmm. You know, I obviously agree with you. We've talked many times about the importance of the exit strategy, but I know that you also maintain a pretty active watch list, and you're constantly tracking stocks with some good technicals that could be some of the winners in a next market rally. Can you say a little bit about that today, Jerry?
Sure. I've got a few different stocks. You know, again, sticking with more of the defensive names, at least at this theme, I mean, you know, things could change very quickly if we can break to the upside. But right now, you know, REITs have been performing well, sticking with healthcare, specifically more on the biotech pharmaceutical side, and utilities have done well, you know, in addition. So those are the defensive areas that I'm seeing the opportunities in this choppy environment. One stock is a company called Questcor Pharmaceuticals. Again, central nervous system drugs. They just recently, they broke out yesterday. It looked really attractive yesterday. And then today it kind of gave some back, but it gave it back on lower volume. The symbol is QCOR. And they, you know, 46.29 is where they closed, but it's still above, kind of, in my opinion, the left side of the cup. It had a, you know, sloppy cup with a handle, a little bit looser on the stop, 37.75 on the stop. But if you look at the earnings, it's been double and triple digit growth over the last five quarters, on double and triple digit growth on sales. Institutions have been buying it. It's almost 150% more institutions in the last year, 93% owned by funds. Does not pay a dividend, 49% return on equity. It is kind of in its fifth base, which, you know, means it could be extended, but the market, in my opinion, has been rewarding the winners and, you know, really taking everybody else to the woodshed. This is one of those longer-term winners. Kind of in the utility area, there's a company called Northwestern Corp, NWE, Nancy William Edward, and again, that's in a seven-month base. Not that this is a very exciting company. It's really not. You're trading between 36.60 and 33.70 over the last 7 months. But they sell natural gas electricity in South Dakota. That location kind of turns me on with all the fracking and all the things that they're doing in the Dakotas. And the economies, you know, they're talking about getting rid of their property taxes up there. The economies are doing so well in those states up there. So I think it's a great location for growth. There's a high number of people moving to that area. So and it's paying a 4.1% dividend. And so it's about $1.40, and the cash flow of $4.75, and earnings of around $2.50. That dividend seems very, very solid, and it actually has a potential for even maybe increase. And again, it's trading kind of in the midpoint of its trading range. Mm-hmm. Another name is Athena Health, and it's ATHN, and they're in the medical field, but they actually provide medical record management. Another one that looked like it broke out, you know, yesterday, today, and kind of gave some of it back this morning on this, you know, this kind of crazy market. We're in a tug of war market. One day up, next day down. Who's winning the tug of war? We don't know, but you know, I'm hopeful that we break to the upside, and this still looks pretty good. Unfortunately, the volume was a little bit higher today, but you can put a 69.25 stop on here. You know, it's about $10, but this company, if again, their sales have been growing, earnings not as good, but you know, great cash flow, great ROE, return on equity is about 16, and again, right sector of the market. So, and then another name that I mentioned the last time you had me on the show, and I still like, is a company called American Campus Communities, ACC. It's a REIT. out of Austin, Texas, and they manage and develop student housing on college and university campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another pretty good dividend, 3.1%, pays $1.35. You got cash flow of $1.80. You've got earnings of $1.88. You know, it looks to me that you can get a nice total return. This is one I have owned since the last time on the show. And, again, one of these things trying to break to the upside, but you've got a defined downside risk to, you know, the 200-day moving average, which is around 41.35. That's where I'd put my stop. It closed, I think, at 43.19 today. It's a total return play. It's a little disappointing today, but this is one that we currently hold. I like the REIT sector. And I've got one more if you've got time. It's a special situation, and
uh-huh.
This is maybe going to be a little bit more attractive to your yield hound folks, and I like yield, is Capstead Mortgage, CMO. Very popular name. It's, you've got to be able to, again, have an exit strategy because this is paying 11.6% dividend. This is one
wow.
of those leveraged, okay, leveraged REITs, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so when you're talking leveraged REITs, as long as we're in this low to potentially even lower interest rate environment, you know, hard to believe that as low the 10-year as we are, 200-year low in interest rates. I've heard people talking about a 1% 10-year at some point in time, which would be bad for the stock market. As long as they're staying really low, they're borrowing short and lending long on mortgages. The cash flow is $2.59, and the earnings are $1.78. It's only paying $1.60 on that 11.6% dividend. Technically, it still looks strong. Stop, I'd put it $12.75, and it's $13.80, somewhere right around that price. So, you know, there's a way to collect yield. It's been a nice total return play. It's a very special situation, but of the names I mentioned, that's the one that's probably a little bit, you know, the most toxic in terms of, you know, watch what happens. If we can recover, you know, this thing, we might see interest rates spike, and this thing would have to be sold pretty quickly.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point here, and one that I think does not get discussed enough in the trading and investing world, and that is the exit strategy on these. And on a number of these, Jerry, you brought up where you are setting the stops. Can you talk a little bit about how you do that and how you would advise traders at home to set their stops?
Well, again, there's four ways to do it. The simplest is to just use a percentage. And if you're doing it at home, a lot of people think that that's all you need to do. But a lot of people, if you see something that's trading between, let's say, $20 and $22 a share, let's say it's you know, $22.50, and they say, I want to set a 10% stop, and so they set it at $20 and a quarter, okay, and it's trading between $20 and $22.50, well, they're going to get stopped out. And not only that, they're going to get stopped out at the low end of the range. And if it holds that 20 support, you know, they're just losing money. They're just giving money away. So
right.
The percentage really isn't the best way to do it. It's almost like, you know, taking crayons out, although there's all kinds of computer programs out there, many of them for free that you can use, you know, that are charting services. And you want to draw a line, either the trend line if it's going up, the old channel, if you will, it's trading, you know, if it's in an uptrend. Now we're hoping to be more in a sideways trend of support resistance, kind of like the floor and the ceiling. And stocks tend to trade between that floor and the ceiling until they find a hole. And when they do, they bounce up or down, and that what used to be the ceiling becomes the floor. So, and you'll see a stock like that one I mentioned that's been trading over 7 months, that Northwestern energy, that, you know, it keeps hitting in that range. It hit 33, 38, 34, 36, 34 and a quarter, 34, 22, 33, 72. You know, it keeps hitting between the high 33 and the low 34 range for 7 months. Well, you know, pick the lowest point, go like about a dime or a quarter below that, and then make sure that you're still within hopefully around a 10%, you know, range. And that's where you set your stop, or you can look at the moving averages. So, like, a lot of these stocks now are trading just above, or the market, just above the 200-day moving average. Well, the 200-day moving average is like the average price for the last year. There's about, you know, 246 trading days a year, so 200 days is last year. Well, nobody likes to be below average. Everyone
right.
wants to be above average. So if your stock falls to below average or below that 200-day, many times that's a point that you can say, okay, I will sell it if it goes to below the average price of the last year, because that was below average. So those are a couple of quick tips on that. There's a lot of good books on the subject, but But two ways is just draw a trend line along the bottoms or along the trend up, or look at the moving averages, Kate. So that's the best way.
Well, you know what? As always, this conversation just flew by, and we'll definitely, as I always do, get you back on here every couple months or so. Jerry, thank you so much. It's been so great talking with you today.
Great. Thank you, Kate.
All right. Bye-bye.